Luke chapter 18, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Wow, you're good. Okay. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I want to read that again to you. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, he told them this disciple because this parable because they were likely possibly to give up. And maybe you came in here this morning and you are thinking about giving up. Well, this message is for you this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them, I see I'm going to be focusing on this today, to show them that they should always pray, not sometimes pray, not just on Saturdays at 5 pray, but always pray and don't give up. And he said, in a certain town there's a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a woman in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice. Lord, we come to you this morning. Many of us crying. Many of us with a need, Lord, that you would meet us in this place. That you would hear our cry for justice, Lord, that you would be our healer, that you would transform situations, Lord, that you would touch our bodies, that you would touch our lives, Lord, that you'd make provision, Lord, that you could get me a job, that you could get me a house, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we got a need. Lord, we got a need for justice. Lord, we need your kingdom reign to just come among us, Lord, that we would come and feel your power, your mercy, your might, your love and your compassion and your touch, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come to you this morning when we got a need. And we are praying, Lord, that you would come here this morning, Lord, and we would not leave this place without having received a touch from you. Lord, I pray that prayer for each person here, Lord. I pray for that prayer for Michael this morning, Lord, as he comes in here dragging, Lord. I pray that prayer for so many that come in here dragging this morning, Lord. You are my healer. You are our healer. Let me give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen. Thursday night, not a good night for me. I was having some problems, having some issues, physical issues. I was feeling all wore out. Anybody, you guys ever feel all wore out? I feel tired and wore down and a little bit grumpy. Any of you guys get a little bit grumpy? Yeah, yeah. Need some grumpmeisters around here. You know, it's 8 o'clock, and I'm just feeling like going to bed. And I just thought, you know what? Most of you know I got diabetes. I said, you know, I bet my sugar is all messed up. And I could have just went to sleep, could have just laid down, but my treadmill was calling my name. Now, that treadmill is less enticing than my bed. But I got on that bad boy and cranked her up. Got it to start off about 7 on my thing and kick it up to about maybe 7. No, I'm sorry. 3.5, and I go about 7 on the climb, and I'm going. And about 10 minutes in, it starts kicking, you know. All of a sudden, I'm going, oh, I'm feeling okay. You know, I've got a little sweat going, because when you start exercising, it opens your cells up, and insulin does some stuff. And anyway, I just start feeling good. And I'm telling you, that treadmill does me no good until I step out on it and start doing some exercising. Am I talking to anybody here?
Amen.
Now, some of you guys come in here dragging this morning, and you are looking for some solutions. You guys have problems in your lives. Can I get a witness? We got some problems in our lives this morning. Amen. And it could be your relationships. It could be your job. Could be your body. And you come in here looking for some solutions this morning. Some of you are coming here today and you are hounded by your past. choices that you have made, harm that you have endured, not even related to your choice. You have been harmed. You got some damage in your past, and you're looking for remedies today, some solutions today. And some of you come in here today, and you realize just how fragile your life truly is. And you're thinking, Lord, I am afraid. Every one of you come in here today looking for something. Every one of you come in here today with an issue. Disciples sometimes felt like that. Jesus told them this parable to show them to pray and don't give up. Bible tells us greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. That there is a hope, there is an opportunity, there are solutions, there are kingdom solutions for your problems, but you have to pray and you have to not give up. Amen? Amen. And some of you today come in here going, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to just lay it down. It is too hard. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. A story about a lady. Pray. Don't give up. Kingdom of God is bigger than your problems. Oh, let me say that again, please. The kingdom of God is bigger than your problems. Amen. Let me say that one more time, okay? Just get ready on this one, okay? The kingdom of God is bigger than your problems. Amen. There you go. Okay, we are on track. Jesus says, don't give up. Why? Because you could be real close to giving up. Jesus says, get with the program, stay with the program, and it is going to work out for you. Today we're going to take a look at kingdom solutions. Amen? Amen. Living with a desire for justice. That's what this widow did. In a certain town, there was a judge, neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow, had no husband. She kept coming to that place with a plea, give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my enemy. I have this opponent in this town. And I'm coming to you for help. And for some time, Bible says that this judge refused to listen to her. Why? Because he didn't care about men. He didn't fear God. And he says, but finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, keeps bugging me, won't let me get away from her, because this lady keeps on bugging me, I'm going to see that she gets justice so that she won't wear me out. And I want to tell you today, folks, that we are surrounded by challenges. And that if you've got a challenge in your life, you are not alone today. This woman had an enemy. And this enemy would not leave her alone. Had an adversary coming after her. And here's a problem that she's got. She's a widow. Now, I mean, if somebody is bugging Julie, are they going to have an easy time of it, Roki? Stand up, Roki. Now, see, I mean, Roki shows up and says, oh, we're going to find somebody else to mess with. Thank you, Roki. Because why? Enrique, stand up. Somebody's messing with Roxy, right? And Enrique shows up and says, whoa. I'm going to find somebody else to mess with. You can sit down. Thank you, Enrique. I'm going to find me a widow, somebody who's got no protection. And that's what this lady was. She had nobody to have her back except this judge, the local judge. And he's no good. He doesn't care about people. And he does not fear God. Now, this is a story about a widow, not about a judge. Okay? I don't want you thinking too much about this judge. The widow is facing tough times. Last week, Jesus talked about an increase of sin. that was going to happen as we get toward the end days. And as we are closer to the end days now as we were back then, we are seeing an increase of sin. Amen? Go outside, man. You're going to see some sin. Go outside and you're going to find some challenges. Go outside and you might have in your heart a cry for justice, a cry for a solution. Jesus says, let me tell you a story. What can we learn from this widow? Don't give up. Everybody's got issues. She is called in the Bible the persistent widow. She kept on coming to the judge. She didn't give up. She was getting put on by her adversary, but not put down by her adversary. Amen? So I want you to learn something from that widow today, Michael. Don't give up. Balthazar, don't give up. Everybody here, anybody of you guys got some serious issues facing you today? Anybody? Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't give up. Thomas came in here 6 months ago, sat over there in the wheelchair zone. Today, you're going to the doctor tomorrow, right? Opportunity for possible, what do they call it, a knee transplant? Get a brand new knee put in there like Ed Knoll had. How's that? Getting out of that wheelchair, being able to walk on his own, get a new knee, no pain. Hallelujah. Is God good? Amen? Don't give up. He says, where are we at? I'm sorry. Here we go. Number two. Folks, today our God brings justice. Can I get a witness, please? It says, and will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, this is Jesus talking. Can you trust Jesus today?
Yes.
I tell you, he says, that they will get justice and slowly. No, Jesus says you'll get justice quickly. You cry out to your Father in heaven day and night, you're going to get justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find any faith on the earth? Is he going to find anybody praying? Is he going to find anybody with trust? Is he going to find anybody with their eyes on heaven? Or will have everybody given up? Why? Because things got so hard. Our God brings justice. Now, you can read this parable and you can get the wrong picture. You can get a picture that our God is like this judge. But that is not true. Our God stands in contrast to this judge. He was a bad judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't love people. And our God, hallelujah, he loves you. Can I get a witness on that? He died on a cross for you. He hears your prayers. His eyes are upon the righteous. Hallelujah. He loves you and cares for you. The picture of the judge is not a picture of our God. What we're supposed to get from this story is a picture of the widow, that we're supposed to be like the widow praying to a good God. Amen? Amen? Our God brings justice. If you take a look at the translation there, let me get it, find the right spot here. It says, translated, our God will be doing justice. Doesn't that just sound good? Sounds like he is coming close. Amen? Our God is going to be going around, and he's going to be making justice, doing justice. He doesn't just make sure you got it. He is doing it himself. Glory to God. That's how much God loves you, to come near to your situation. Now, who gets it? No, the chosen ones. And I'm telling you what, folks, if you are sitting here today, it is not because of anything of your doing. It's because God has chosen you for a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
You are God's chosen. There is an opportunity of kingdom solutions for your situations, if you would but put your eyes on them, if you would but step out into the kingdom of God, spend some time there. When I come back, am I going to find anybody praying? Anybody caring? See, there's no need for us to wear our God out. There's no need for us to wear our God down, because he says he'll hear you and he'll answer your prayer quickly. Jesus says, because of this, you keep on praying. Keep on praying and praying, seeking God. Bible says, this is confidence. Would everybody say confidence, please?
Confidence.
We're going to be working in confidence. Why? Because we are not going to give up. Amen? And when you are confident, that means you have what? A hope for a solution, a kingdom solution to your problem. Amen? So the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So Jesus says, you keep on asking. Don't give up. Because our God answers quickly. Belteshazzar, roll on over here, would you? We had church last Sunday. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Yes, we did. And we were talking about the Lord. You got to come all the way up here to this microphone, bro. You just got to go on the tape. There you go. Back right on up. And we were talking about faith. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. And Belteshazzar went home so happy, but you weren't all that happy. In fact, you got home and you told the Lord you didn't want to live in this chair anymore. Some of you might not know Belteshazzar's story, but you had a stroke 3 years ago.
Yes.
And Belteshazzar, he's bigger than Enrique. Yeah. He really is.
How old are you? No, yes, I'm bigger than you, but...
Tell him about what happened. Tell him
okay, what happened is that I was in such a pain that I told the Lord, if I want to live like this, with this pain, I don't want to live no more. Just take me. Just do something. And then...
You said, Lord, if I'm going to live like this, you got to give me a sign, yeah. Right? And he came in on Monday, right? And we're doing the food distribution. Need some food? Come in tomorrow at 11. We will hook you up. And put your arm up. And I'm telling you, I haven't seen his arm up in 3 months. And I'm like, what is up with Belteshazzar? It feels good, don't it? All right. So now you said that you started off talking about, we were talking about the presence of the Lord at the Bible study on Monday after food distribution. Mm-hmm. And you said how you experienced the presence of the Lord and that you were just weeping on Sunday night. So much so that you couldn't stop.
Help me, help me.
You said that the presence of the Lord was just upon you and that you were just crying.
I was crying. I couldn't stop. I don't know for what reason, but I was crying. And then it's when I felt this tingling on my arm. Because I asked the Lord, just give me a sign. Do something so I can keep believing. And then send somebody to help me to do something about my arm. Okay. I felt the tingling, and then I started moving my arm. And
you said like needles all over, up and down, right?
Yeah. Needles. Oh, he knows what I'm talking about. It's really hard. This pain is a real bad pain. And you can even move.
And so the pain starts here and just begins to go up your whole arm.
The whole body.
Your whole body.
Well, half of the body. Half is okay.
So half that was okay, he didn't mess with that half. Isn't that good about God? Amen. Stuff you don't need to be touched, he ain't going to be touching. And so you come in Monday and your arm, you can do that. And you got notified that surgery's been approved for your hand and that some doctors are going to be cutting on there and making it even better. Amen?
That's when I asked the Lord to give me a sign. And then send somebody. Okay. Finally, I got a doctor now that is going to do the operation. But they sent me an email to my wife's telephone about a week ago talking about this surgery. And she gave me the notice about, 2 days ago?
Yeah. So the message is on the way. It took a while to get here.
The thing is that I'm happy. And believe me, there is a God. Believe me, Yuseli. It's a God.
Amen.
Man, I am so glad that I found him.
Hallelujah. Well, he found you, bro.
Well, he found me.
A little round of applause for that. Amen. I'll tell you what, I was blessed by that. I thought you might be blessed by that. Hallelujah. Were you blessed by that, by the way? Amen, I was. Oh, yeah. I missed that part. Okay, never mind. Oh, you know what? I put that in the wrong spot. We'll get to that. Okay. All right. There are some who are doing just fine. You know some people doing just fine? Amen? Jesus tells another story. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, a priest, and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. And Jesus tells a story of self-confidence. Second story that we're going to take a look at today, the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And this is a story for those people who think they're doing pretty good. My works are okay. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm doing good. And realistically, they feel that they really don't have a need for God because they can look around and can see all kinds of bad stuff going on and think, hey, I'm doing pretty good here. I'm thinking God's just going to let me in. And this is a position and this is a prayer of pride, of self-righteousness, of those folks that would look at others and say, man, look at that guy. He's all messed up. I'm better than him. And he says, I fast. That means he doesn't eat so he can focus on the Lord. I tithe. Saw Aaron took the offering this morning. I'm giving. I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good. And you know what? We're surrounded by people that are doing pretty good. People that spread their money around. Got so much money and they give to good causes, to help foster children and to do all kinds of stuff. And because they're doing this good stuff, they are thinking that they don't need any help from God. Not the tax collector. The tax collector stood at a distance, didn't even want to come close. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because some people are aware of their need. You might come in here today and you might be aware of your need. Jesus says, I tell you that that man, that tax collector, that's the guy who went away justified before God. And this is a good one to underline in your Bibles, folks. It says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Closest thing we have to a tax collector, the way they had in the day, might be a Mexican policeman who will pull you over and you don't know what you're going to get. Now, I haven't been down there in a while. I don't want to offend anybody, but stories abound with Mexican federales that will pull you over and say, give me $50 and I will let you go. Now, these tax collectors, they had official position. And they used that official position for their gain. They were Jews. They were sellouts. They were Jews taking advantage of Jews. And there was a bunch of them in the Bible. Luke 19 has a story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The apostle Matthew was a tax collector. The Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, says, they asked, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? What's he doing? These are the bad guys. These are the discards of humanity. But there is an answer, folks, because our Lord is a recycler. Amen? There's that picture I scrolled through real quickly of the people that are holding them cans up. That's our Lord, see? And one day he is holding Balthazar up and said, look, I'm going to recycle this one. And what you'll do is you take them old crunched up, junky-looking, funky-looking cans and turn them into brand new, shiny cans. See, our God's a recycler. Many of you have been on the recycling heap. I was. He picked me up in the gutter one day. I had come to that point, said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And at that point, he picked me up off the gutter and he said, here you go. We're going to start a recycling project in you. So you come in here, you can get help only if you need it. You can get help only if you're asking for it. You can get help only if you are looking and have your eyes upon him who can give it to you. And amazingly enough, Jesus tells us the tax collector gets it. Not the Pharisee. Not the priest. The tax collector calls out to God and he is forgiven. The word there is justified. You know, the widow was crying out for justice. And he was justified. This word justified is a technical word. It means just as if I never sinned. So you can be clean. You can come off the garbage heap. And you can put your eyes upon the Lord this morning. And you can say, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And he says, that's a place that we can start. Amen? You need help today? You need some kingdom solutions? Hallelujah. Jesus is making a way. Glory to God. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Opportunities for kingdom access. This is the third story. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. And there is a desire to be blessed by God. Desire to be blessed by God. Oh, there's that pretty little girl sitting right back over there. I'd go grab her, but I've only seen her a couple of times. She's a cutie. Go take a look at that little girl. She is just beautiful. And you know what? We see them little children. Back in the day, parents were bringing their children to Jesus and looking for a blessing. You know, I'll tell you what. My wife, I think until my kids were five, they never left her sight. I'm serious, man. I'm homeschooling. I'm not letting anybody else have my kid. Maybe her sister, you know. And then she'd be calling her. But I'll hear about it later. We love our children. We got three kids come in the last month. They aren't here today. And mama's just sitting there looking at their babies at home. We love our kids. Back in the day, they loved their kids. Get sick, get hurt, get everything. And they were bringing those babies to Jesus to get a blessing. Would you bless my child? Would you help my child? Disciples jumped in the middle of it. Jesus don't have time for these babies. The disciples jumped in between Jesus and the babies. Jumped in between Jesus and those mamas. I'm telling you, man, those disciples weren't very smart. Can I get a witness on that? I'll tell you what, you want to be messing with a mama and her children. It's like, are you crazy? Jesus was not dumb. Hallelujah. He said, let these guys come. See, the disciples had the mistaken belief that the babies were not important enough to take Jesus' time. Some people think they're not important enough for Jesus' time. Jesus hung on a cross for you. That's pretty important. See, Jesus thinks way different than his disciples. And realistically, Jesus probably thinks a lot different than you. Because he's got all the time in the world for you. He's saying, man, if you would just step on the edge of the kingdom, there's all kinds of solutions that are available for your issues. But you got to keep on praying. You can't give up. You got to keep your focus. Jesus opens the way. Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus came to open the kingdom of God, folks. He came to proclaim the kingdom, and then he came to open the door so that we can get in. Amen? John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Talking about children and letting the children come forward, I was reminded of a life-changing incident for me about 3 weeks ago. Well, just before, actually, in December. When the pastor that took me and a group of people to Mexico reminded me of this story. And he was preaching the Lord. It was in the Tijuana dump. And folks work in the dump, live in the dump area. Nobody wants to live in a dump. Can I get a witness on that? I don't care if you're in Mexico, you're in America, or wherever. And, and they've built this church in the dump. And my pastor is preaching, and it's all good, and he's getting translated, and it's okay. And he calls at the end for prayer. Does anybody need prayer? And this lady comes forward. And she looked, she was not nearly dressed as nicely as Anna, but she looked kind of like Anna. And in her arms was a baby that was smaller than Juan. I don't know, maybe a year old. Bigger kid, but not like a little tiny baby. And I'm telling you, this lady, she got a big old blanket, walking forward through that church, surrounded by the Tijuana dump, bringing her baby to get prayed for. It's all fine. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, there's no doctor tomorrow for that baby. This is it. I heal that baby, or that baby doesn't get healed. All kinds of times where I'm praying for healing, I know I can go to a doctor. I'm telling you, it takes great faith when God is all there is. My life was transformed in that moment. I began to weep like Balthazar talked about. And I go outside, and here's this. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Tijuana dump, but there is a huge cemetery there. And you know what? Nobody wants to get buried at a dump either. And if you've seen the cemetery at the Tijuana dump, and I think it is mainly Catholic, every color in the rainbow, decorations and ribbons and this and that. And I come out, and it's on kind of these rolling kind of hills. And so I come out, and Lord, I'm just dealing with the word of the Lord touching my heart. And I look up, and I just see cemetery as far as the eye can see. And I'm like, Lord, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this pain. And we had come down from Sacramento, and he says, the pain that you see and feel here is the pain I see and feel every day in Sacramento. Oh, Lord. And I said, just as you said, I said, Lord, I got to have something. You got to give me something. You can't leave me like this. I mean, and I'm like, these two little kids, man, 5 or 6 years old, come from nowhere. And they grab my hand, and they take me up to where the clowns are. We had clowns, and we were giving hot dogs to the kids and prizes. And around the edge of this church is a celebration. My life was changed that day. See, there are kingdom solutions if you pray and don't give up. Jesus says, pray. Don't give up. I see your pain. I see your sorrow. I see everything that you've got. The Bible says that we can come to the Lord with confidence. That we know that we come to him, but he hears what we pray. We can come to him with confidence, and that we can come with him with trust. That our Lord would bring justice. That our Lord is a healer. That our God is active. He's not far away. That he comes and he brings and he makes justice all around us. He says, when I come back, am I going to find faith? When I come back, am I going to find anybody who is holding on to the kingdom? Or will everybody have turned aside? He says, you receive the kingdom like one of these children. And the way is open. Hallelujah. The kids come with full expectation and full anticipation. Glory to God. Why? Ron was here earlier. Ron or Jose? Jose. Sorry, I always call him Juan. And he's got his little bottle, and he gives me a knuckle bust, you know. And I come back, and there's the bottle laying in the middle of the aisle. Eh, done. There's about, I don't know, just a little bit left in it. So I'm walking along, talking to some adults, and I pick that bottle up, and I just keep going. He's like, hey, he's scamming my bottle from me. What's up with that? And Gloria's all wound up. Hey, 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 hey. I was just thinking, well, I just thought he might notice if I picked it up. He's like, what are you doing, man? You're not supposed to be taking my stuff. You're the pastor. I can't even talk, and I know you're the... Oh, can he talk? He can talk, right? Yeah, he can talk. I think he probably knows I'm Pastor Bob. He comes in here with trust. How about you? You got trust today? You got anticipation? You got expectation? You trust God?
Amen.
Jesus gives us kingdom access. Why? Because the way was closed. The way to the kingdom was closed because of sin. The Bible tells us, back in Genesis chapter 3, that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and God threw them out. And when he threw them out, he put a cherubim there, an angel there with a sword flashing back and forth. Would that scare you? I'm thinking, whoa, okay, I'm not going back. Why did he put it there? Because some people would have wanted to go back. He said the way is closed. There is a separation because of sin. Moses built a tabernacle in the wilderness when God led his people out of Egypt. And in the tabernacle, which was a tent, it was patterned after the temple. David patterned the temple after the tabernacle that was in Jerusalem. But they would move through the wilderness, and there was, inside the tent was Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant wasn't a big thing. We've talked about that before. The whole tabernacle was about this big, from there to there. And it's like, in the holy place, the most holy place held the Ark of the Covenant. And it was 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet high. And it was separated from the whole rest of the tabernacle, separated from the whole rest of the temple, because that is where the presence of God was. The Ark of the Covenant, watched Indiana Jones, there was two angels on top. It was a golden chest that was holding the Ten Commandments and Aaron's staff that had budded in a jar of manna. And on top of that was two angels that had their wings spread out towards one another. And on top of that is what is called the mercy seat. And that is where the presence of God resided. You getting a picture? Presence of God in the most holy place. Separated from God's people. No one could go in there. One priest, the high priest, one day of the year could go in there to make atonement. Other than that, God was separate. All three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Synoptic Gospels, tell the story of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on a cross. And it talks about 3 hours of darkness. It talks about Jesus giving up his spirit. Take my spirit, Lord. And it talks about the earth shaking, and you can miss this. You can miss this if you're not paying attention. But in all three of those Gospels, it talks about the curtain in the temple being torn in two. You're thinking, who cares about a curtain, man? Why does that make all three Gospels? Because the curtain... He says the curtain was as thick as a man's hand. Now, can I get a witness that that is a piece of fabric?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. I mean, you're talking maybe half, 3/4 of an inch to an inch thick? That curtain was the curtain that stood in between the rest of the temple and the most holy place. And as Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, that fabric was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying what? That there was no longer a separation. That Jesus has opened the way. I'll tell you what, it wasn't the earthquake that ripped that thing. It was the hand of God that says, I will be separated no more. My son has paid for your sins on the cross. My son has opened the way into the most holy place. And if you want to find transformation, you want to find healing, you want to find kingdom solutions, let me read to you what the writer of Hebrews says, and this will end our time. Lisa, why don't you come on up here? The Bible says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, there's that word confidence again, right? It's all through the Bible. Confidence, why? Because Jesus hung on the cross. Because Jesus died for your sins. You have confidence to do what? To enter what? The most holy place. That is opened by Jesus' death on the cross, that the veil has been rent, and now Jesus, the Lord, is not contained in there anymore. And he says that we can enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That is his body. See how all this works together? Come on now, can I get a witness on this? Amen. The curtain was torn. The most holy place that there is access. Do you want kingdom solutions? He says you've got to enter how? With confidence. Why? Because you know that our God hears us. And you know that our God makes justice. And he says, let us draw near, since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. To cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Glory to God. He died for your sins, but he's not dead anymore. Amen? Amen? On the third day, he raised from the dead, and he ministers where? In the most holy place. The Bible says that he lives to intercede for you. Amen. That you are not here by accident. That God hears the prayers of who? His chosen ones. And he died on the cross and was raised from the dead so that you might be chosen to have your life transformed. I don't know what your problem is. Maybe it's your past. You've been just bound by choices that you've made. Maybe you're like the widow all alone and you're surrounded by enemies. Then, Lord, I need justice. Maybe you come in here and you're like just a tax collector going, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. And maybe you just see, like those parents of those babies, how fragile life is. But I don't know what you need today. But I do know that our Lord Jesus Christ ministers in the most holy place, intercedes for you, and his spirit is here among us today saying, my child, there are solutions that are available to you. Pray and don't give up. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord, that encourages us, Lord, that encourages me this morning, Lord, that you don't leave us alone. Lord, I thank you that you make justice, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us from sin. And Lord, in the same way, Lord, that you touch them, those children, that you'll touch us, Lord. You touch Balthazar. You give him a sign and a healing and progress in his life, Lord. That you touch Thomas, Lord. You take him out of his wheelchair, Lord. Got a brand new plastic knee waiting for him. Lord, I thank you that Larry's got new eyes waiting for him in heaven. Hallelujah. Charles got a set back there too. Hallelujah. I got blood in heaven and don't have to worry about sugar content. Can I get a witness on that? I don't know what your situation is, but I know that there are kingdom solutions this morning. Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord, and there are folks that are broken in their lives this morning, yes, Lord. Message from heaven, pray and keep on praying. Pray with confidence. Pray with trust. Pray with hope. Amen. I'll hear you in heaven. You're here this morning. I'm going to ask you, two, maybe three questions. You're here this morning and you're lost. You come in here and you are cold and this message has made you feel colder and colder and colder. And right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart saying, you are lost, my child. You are headed to hell. But I'll save you. You pray that prayer of the tax collector, that sinner, that guy that was lost. Say, oh, Lord, forgive me, a sinner, and I will cleanse you. Like you've never been cleaned before. Nobody's looking around right now. But the Holy Spirit is just speaking to your heart. You're saying, that is me this morning. Set me free, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord, from all my sin and unrighteousness. I turn my life over to you. No one's looking around, but the Lord's speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand and say, oh, that's me this morning. Back there, right here, over here, here, there, there. Anybody else? Can you put your hand down if I saw you? One last shot. Lord is on your heart, is all over you right now. He's saying, I'll save you. But you got to trust me enough to put your hand up to get it. You didn't put your hand up before, but the Lord's on you right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Over here. All righty. You're here and you're broken. You're here and you're saying, Lord, I got to feel you. I got to know you. You do hear me, Lord. I need a touch. I feel like Balthazar did last Sunday night. I got to know you, Lord. Don't leave me cold. Don't leave me out. Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to keep on coming to you. I know you love me. I trust that you love me. I'm going to grab onto you. I'm going to commit to pray. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue following. I got challenges around me, Lord. I need your help and your guidance and your direction, Lord. I'm not giving up. That's you this morning. I want to pray. I'm going to ask you to come up and sing in a little bit, but I'm going to lose this moment. You just need a touch from the Lord. You just say, Lord, touch me. I'm committed. I'm not giving up. Give me that touch. Just put your hand up. Say, here I am.